Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
The ADVFN Podcast with Justin Waite.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 343. On the podcast day, Nicola Duke, technical analyst, looks at MX Oil, ITV, Paragon Entertainment, BHP Billiton, and Mosman Oil and Gas. Randy from NCT, North Korea, was supposed to be on today. He had to postpone. Unfortunately, he had to jump on a plane, apparently, to a critical meeting, in inverted commas. So it couldn't have been avoided. But hopefully we'll get Randy back on in the future sometime. It's a funny old market, you know. Things are not responding the way they should. But sometimes when things go down, if you're into a company like I am at the moment, Asia Met, ours, with Tony Manini, who hopefully will be on the show very soon, then, you know, you use opportunities like this. I've just placed a limit order to buy some more Asia Met shares, and I have faith in this company. I've even bought some through my brother's ISA for him. And if you look, basically today, there's been high-grade copper mineralization intersected at. This is further to the stuff that's already out there, the copper resources out there. And, of course, I wrote a blog post on this saying why I bought some shares in Asia Met for my brother. Now, if you look at the tonnage there that they have at the moment, right, it's been upgraded by 43% to over 400,000 tons of copper. Tony Manini, the CEO, stated that the mine life is between 12 and 14 years at production rates of over 20,000 tons per annum. So, working out at 20,000 tons per annum at a price of $3,500 per ton, and that's not a lot. That's the lower end of the scale. And of course, this mine will not be producing until 2017, remember that? Where they're writing the profile of copper will be a lot higher, the price, because we've got historic lows in the moment. There'll be a deficit of copper on the market. So you do that at $3,500 per ton. Right? Annual revenue, £70 million, this is. Apply a modest operating margin of 10%, which is easy doable. And you're left with £7 million profit per year. So if you put this on a conservative, very conservative PE of 7, you get a market cap of £49 million. Where's Asia Met at the moment? It's got a market cap of around £7 million. Can you see the value gap here? And I'm reading this from my blog post here. You know, that's almost 7 times, pretty much, where it is at the moment. And, you know, here's a guy, Tony Manini, who's taken companies from small companies into $1 billion companies. And he plans, in his own words, to do the same again, starting with Asia Met. So I just think, you know, when there's weakness in the market and you know about companies, it's worth taking up or doing your research. And like I have today, placed a limit order to buy some more. And right now, they're placing at 1.4 pence with a lot of Tony's friends. You know, a friend of Tony, you know. Yeah. And you know, they're well-heeled people. They know what they're doing. Got a bit of money. It was not at a great discount to the actual price. It's at 1.4 pence. Now, you can buy Asia Met at 1.3 pence. So these people that are well-connected with Tony, they managed to get the share price of 1.4 pence. You, who are not connected, well, you may be connected, who are not connected in any way, can get it cheaper than those guys. I ask you, eh? Ah, you know what I'm saying? Just do your research. And that's why, at the moment, I'm whittling down my portfolio of stocks there. So I want to get down to about 5 companies that I know really well. And I know Asia Met quite well, you know. And that's why I'm comfortable at buying at lower levels. Because I think, if I can average down here, if I get my price down, when it starts to turn around, when it starts to rally, then, you know, basically I'm doubling my money sooner than I expected to. So always trying to get that average down in the company world, you know, well known. But I'll put a link, by the way, if you haven't read that, to that little blog post at sharepickers.com. Check it out. Check out the share price. Use this as a stepping stone. As I always say, do some more research. Please don't, you know, buy anything based solely on tips or recommendations by me or anyone else on the podcast. For all you know, we may be talking nonsense. Please do your own research, and that's my advice. I just think the more I read about diversification, the people, you know, having... Yeah, if you're quite active in the markets, I don't think you need to diversify so much. If you do lots of research into several, you know, a couple of companies, you can't do research on 100 companies. You can't do that. It's impossible. You can't do it in 30 companies. If you look at that, you know, a report came out every quarter from 30 companies, and other RNS has been released as well. How are you going to keep up with that? You can't. Even if you read them all, manage to read them all, you can't remember them all, you know? So that's why I'm trying to get down to 5, the magic 5. That's magic 3, but I think that's too risky. I'm trying to get down to 5 companies, hopefully, and I will be doing that over the next... anyway, the time I do it is by the time... In my diary, in my Google Calendar, which is free, a cracking resource, in April, several times, I've put, start scaling back. Because we know the market is cyclical, and traditionally, you know, this is quite a high. A good month is April to start looking and peering back some companies, maybe with the, you know, the thought of buying some more in the summer months, because that's when we have a thin period. But of course, now I think it's a bit silly to get out of positions now if you're underwater, because we've got the end of year rally coming, and hopefully then that's time between, you know, then and April is the time to start paring back on companies you don't want. Anyway, like I said, if you want to read that article on AsiaMet, please go to sharepickers.com. Oh yeah, and don't forget, I've got today's penny stock with potential, as suggested by you. Please click the link here at sharepickers.com to register a penny stock that you think has potential. It takes about 5 minutes to fill out the form, and I could feature it in the future podcast. And also, this podcast is dedicated to Dino Blues for the 5-star review and rating on iTunes. Thank you very much, Dino. I will read out your review in a bit. Joining me on the podcast right now is the Duchess of the Chart, Nicola Duke. You're right, Nick.
Hello, Justin.
Oh,
yes.
Did you have a nice weekend?
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Yeah. I went to I went racing horses with a load of mates. We do it once a year. We do it about 10 years now. And I'm not cut out to that kind of... almost from 10:30 in the morning drinking until about, you know, normally about sort of 12 o'clock at night or something. But I skipped out about 7:30, went back to my parents' house, because I was in Wales then, and went for Chinese to watch The X Factor. You know. But I'm still feeling underwater a little bit. You'd have to take on so much alcohol, which I'm not used to.
No, I used to be able to drink loads, you know, but I can't now.
Yeah, well, and do you know what?
The effects last too long.
Yeah, and I came home... at the weekend, I came into the house and I called Megan, my other half, there, and said, "Where are you?" She said, "We're in Pets at Home." I said, "What are you doing there?" "Buying a rabbit." I said, "What are you talking about? We've discussed this. The kid's not having a rabbit. We bought one." They're all brilliant. We've got a rabbit now. And I don't know if you know what it was like. At Pets at Home, they really now grill you on whether you're suitable to take a pet home or not. It's like having a...
I think they should.
Yes, yeah, like it was a job interview. But anyway, they're leaving the pets at home.
Have you bought a house rabbit or an outdoor rabbit?
I don't know. It's when he's in a big massive mansion of a cage. He's got two floors to himself.
Well, you know, you can teach it to live in your house and use a cat litter box.
Can you?
Oh, yeah. Oh. I have one.
Okay. And so anyway, so they're leaving the shop with Fred, who's my 5.5-year-old, and Monty, who's 2.5 years old. And as they were leaving, the man from the shop was helping to carry the basket out. And Fred said, "Mummy, we'll try our best not to kill this one, yeah?"
Oh, no.
And we said, Megan went, "What are you talking about? We've never had a rabbit." She said, "No, we had a goldfish and you killed it." "We didn't kill it, it died." But the man started looking at me a bit suspiciously, like, "Have I let these guys go through and they're murderers?" That wasn't good. But we got away with it. And another rabbit sitting in the house there. And it's a lovely little thing. It doesn't do a lot, though, you know. What do they do?
He's probably a bit lonely on his own.
Yeah, well, I was thinking get another one. But then I think, you know,
Make him an outdoor run and let him go and eat some grass. Yeah. Be a rabbit.
Okay, isn't he 8 weeks old? He's a dwarf with big
ears. Oh, no,
when I say dwarf with big ears, I don't mean like, you know, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. I mean, he's a rabbit, you know. So, you know. So you can't put him outside yet, can we?
No, keep him in.
Yeah, keep him nice and, yeah, because he's nice and, you know, he doesn't seem to do a lot, but he's, you know, he's fine. Anyway, what do you think of the markets, Nick? What's going on here?
Yeah, I think we're due a bit of a bounce.
Do you?
Yeah, we sold off quite hard last week. It's option expiration. Certainly the reaction to the events of the weekend has not been a stock market crash.
No.
Which says to me that, you know, we could see a bit of a sustained bounce this week.
Yeah, dreadful events of the weekend. But, you know, dreadful. I mean, putting that aside, I mean, looking at this, because this is what we do here, let's look at stocks and shares and markets. And I think that the fact that it happened on Friday took a while for people to sort of ingest it, not accept it in any way, but almost, if it happened on during the market open, that would have really shook the markets, I think. But yeah. Like I said, the markets were closed and people sort of time to mull it over and realise, you know, in a financial situation, will it have much impact? And I don't think it will really, because like I said, if that initial shock had happened during a market open, I think it really would have shook the markets. So you think that...
But oil has my attention here.
Does it?
Particularly more than stocks, yes. I think $40 in US crude and $44 in Brent is quite a good floor.
Yeah.
To buy against. We've seen a really good reaction off it today.
Yeah, yeah.
The oil stocks tend to lag, so you keep an eye on them.
Yeah, and I've noticed that I own Royal Dutch Shell, and I've talking on the weekend podcast on Friday evening, saying, will Royal Dutch Shell retest the lows they're at beforehand? And it's a good thing. I don't think it is. It's almost like a higher low happening here. So it went down to like 15 quid. And now it's just bounced off 15.80 odd. So that's quite a good sign, isn't it, really?
Yeah, it looks really good.
Yeah.
And certainly, you know, the FTSE, which has been the weakest of the stock indexes, likes it. So...
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's look at the stocks. Some of them, most of them have been suggested by people on Twitter. So let's have a look at them. What's the first one up on the list there?
On the list, I have probably got it out of order, it's Mossman Oil and Gas.
Yes, this was suggested. And the ticker is MSMN, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay.
This one is really struggling. Technically, it's a downtrend. It's below all the major moving averages. And, you know, potentially the low is not in, even though the last few days has seen quite a nice bid. We've had a nasty sell-off again today, back at 3.25.
Yeah.
It's struggling to find a bottom. I think that there's a pivot. You know how I like to do the opening price? There's a pivot at 3.75. And that would also clear the downtrend line from the September high that I've put in red on the chart. If we can close above 3.75, I think that we can confirm we've made a bottom.
Okay.
And we should move higher from there.
Yeah.
But until we do that, really, yeah...
Yeah, okay.
We'll see.
Well, that was,
I don't know why this one is struggling, but yeah. It is.
Well, maybe it's a bit of a lag factor there, you never know. But
that
was suggested by Mike there. Because, do you know what? It's like that thing is, you see the price there, right? bumping along the bottom there, and then it breaks through that 50-day and 20-day moving average, then spikes up, and then it almost had a breather just before the 20-day moving average, spikes up again, you know, and that's when you should never buy, isn't it, really? That area there where it spiked like crazy. And then it's come all the way back. Look at that, from like 3 pence to almost just under 10 pence there. That's a cracking bit of upside. If you bought the right level there, that
there is some really cracking upside potential. If we can break out of this wedge, then we should see 14. But the first pivot, which is last February's lows, is at 3.75. That's what we've got to clear. And then the 100-day moving average, which is around 3.8 at the moment, will move up as we move up, of course, but...
Right, so at 14, you're getting from 14 pence, you're saying, that you're getting from that previous spike, is it? Or where is it coming from? How do you get that...
14 is the first Fibonacci target.
Okay.
Which is 23.6 of the highs at 54.2.
Okay, all right. All right, okay.
So, long way, but that's what I would look to for the first target.
Marvellous. Okay, what's next, Nick?
So the next one up is BHP Billiton.
Yeah, now I suggest this because they've had a bit of a nightmare. First of all, they deal, as you know, predominantly. They do have oil and gas and all that stuff, but predominantly iron ore is their thing. And to the Chinese market, as we know, they've been grinding lower because of the Chinese market, but they still pay this cracking dividend, which has got to be about 8% now. And they haven't missed that. In fact, they pretty much increased it for pretty much 100 years. They haven't missed it. But they've had this disaster in Samarco, that a dam break, and I think there were quite a few fatalities, double-figure fatalities, and them and Vale, having to dig into their pockets. So some people say, will the dividend be cut? It's basically, what do you call it, a perfect storm at the moment for them. You know, in this situation, low commodity prices, then they have this kind of, a disaster happen, which is obviously awful for the people involved. But, I mean, like on the financial side as well, it's not good for them. So what do you think here? Because it's hitting very low lows, isn't it, here?
It is. And, you know, at the moment, I don't think that there's anything we can do with this one. Below 850, it's trying to find support. It's having a go today. I think copper has one very small leg lower and then it should bottom, and iron, when I looked at it, is quite similar, but we're not quite there yet. So I would say let's look at this in a week or two, and we might have a sign then. But below, you know, you to buy it here, you could do it speculatively. I wouldn't do it though. I'd need more sign of a turn, and we haven't got one.
Okay, well, I did it speculatively for my brother. I bought some in his ISA account. I thought, do you know what? Historically, I said, this is the kind of stock you'd hold for 20 years, you know?
Right.
And I'm looking at dividends reinvestment. So I'm thinking, look at that. I'm looking at
if we can recover the 950 level on a closing basis, then I think that there is potential. But it has to do that. That's the first thing that it has to do to say that we've bottomed at the moment. And I think that more likely the target we'll see higher up is the gap that I've annotated on the chart. But at the moment, not quite there.
Okay, what's the next, Nick? That's BHP. What's next? BLT, that is the ticker. What's next?
ITV.
Oh, ITV, yes.
Or Paragon Entertainment.
Let's go to ITV first, yes. And who was it suggested by? You crack on there. I'll find out who it was suggested by now. Go on.
I like ITV a lot. Broken out, clear of all its moving averages. Was in quite a long consolidation range September and October. Has cleared them all. I think it looks quite well supported today. If it heads lower, support's at 257 and 251. And we're wrong below 244. But we should retest the highs at 280, and first target after that would be 295.
Yeah,
I think we should continue from here to new highs.
To be honest, it's had a fantastic rally since the financial crisis. Really, it's gone from below. It's below 50 pence at one point. I think touching that, and then it's gone up to over 250, 280. I think it touched that, but it's had struggles there, hasn't it, recently, and it's come back to 240. Look at that, 1, 2, 3, 4, you see it testing that 240 level, you know, 3 or 4 times, isn't it? And then and now it's just, like you said, last few weeks it's gone above the 200.
So potentially, I think we have one leg, one small swing higher, one new high in us potentially, although, you know, carefully.
If we look at a weekly
on a MACD and everything's bottoming. So it might fail to make a new high and it might start topping. But if you buy dips, you know, and you buy on when a weekly is doing that, then you have much more chance of getting out of it without losing.
Yeah, maybe on the Sander rally it'll break that 280 point again. You never know.
Yes.
Look at the chart now. When you see that previous high there, like it tried to test that, didn't it? Once, twice, three, four. It touched it, peaked to the 280, almost the fourth attempt at it, but then failed miserably and came all the way back down to £2.40. I mean, that's quite a strong resistance up there, isn't it, 280?
It is quite a strong resistance, but we do look set to have another go. And if you have a look, at, you know, basically since mid-August, we've been fighting over the 200 daily moving average, and we were either going to break lower from it or break higher. If you just look at that on the daily, it looks to me like we've broken higher. And so that, which is now at 255, is where we know we're, whether we're wrong or not. So, you know, I like this.
And there's a strong, if you look at the gap there, the gap back in March, which it gapped up above 240, the top of the gap there. You can see that that's nice support level there, isn't it?
Yes, it is, yeah.
Yeah, and I just want to, okay, lovely. All right, so you like it, but, you know, it's wait and see. Impression that. Okay, cool.
Below 244, we're going to see another leg lower.
All right.
So
Andy
that's
G.
That's where we're wrong.
Andy
Thanks,
G.
Andy.
Thanks, Andy. Suggested that one. Okay, what's next, Nick?
Paragon Entertainment.
PEL. Yeah, there's a lot of private investors into this. Penny stock. A lot of them like it. In fact, tomorrow on the podcast, I have a guy called Matt Stork, who's a very good investor trader. He knows what he's doing. And he's a big fan of these. And he does both sort of technical and fundamental. And they had a bit of a hammering a while, but it came down. It dropped like 30-odd% in one day. That was on the on October the 6th. I jumped in. Just for a little mess around. It went up, and I wanted the cash for something else, so I sold. I made 10% on that, but, you know. But, yeah, I might revisit this. Where do you think it's going from here? Is it 2 pence?
Yeah, well, you know, since the start of the year, we've been in this consolidation range and getting into a sort of narrower and narrower range. The highs, the resistance, which would be your first target on any long, are at 3. Mm-hmm. And the lows of the range at the moment are about 1.6.
Yeah.
So we're a little bit above those. We're below all the moving averages, so it's not really compelling. I would say, though, that if we get back above them all, that we are due a run on a Santa rally back to the highs and back to 3.
All right. And we got any more there to look at, Nick? Is that it?
I think we have one more MX oil.
Yes. Now, I've had a couple of people say, can you get MXO all on the podcast? Because it's Stefan Olivier. This is just my watermelon at AIM, underscore AIM. And a couple of people suggested this, actually. So, they're a big play. Or Jimmy Two Shoes. That's who's suggested this as well. They're a big play on the Mexican oil sector, because the energy sector has opened up to foreign investment, and they're in auction. They bid for a couple of licenses there, so it's all go really, and the outcome of that I think will be this December sometime. So they're just playing around. They've got an oil producing asset in Nigeria, it's off coast there, but essentially the big play is on whether they get some licenses from Mexico. So what do you think, Richard?
Well, you know, they do have pretty good support at around 2 or 197.2. It's really struggling to hold on to it, though, and it has to, because if it doesn't, it's 1.75 and then 1.56, you know.
Yeah.
I would like to see it hold here. I think it can. I'd like to see a bit more confirmation. Just a MACD at the moment. The MACD looks like we're rolling lower again on the daily. I'd like to see it back above zero and moving higher to confirm that we really have bottomed. But the oil price turning up will help until they get their licenses. But, you know, this might be one of those ones, if that's the story, where you just have to have a little go and hold on for the ride. Technically, this, sort of 1.95 down to sort of 1.88 is good support.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, it does look like it's had support you before, like you said there. It's like saying, will it hold? And all it takes, like you said, it's a bit of weakness in the oil price, and that will send it a bit further. So, So there we are. But, you know, who knows? It's on the outcome of that license.
On a weekly, you know, it does look like we could, you know, we've got certainly a lot of resistance ahead of us, but we do look like we could be bottoming. Yeah, no signs of it. Yeah, it's quite risky. I really would like to see the daily, at least a daily MACD, start to turn up higher again and cross the zero line, or back above at least the 20 moving average, which is around 2.18. It's one of those trades you want to see it start going your way, because once it does, it'll motor.
So where will, if it breaks this level now, will it go down to 1.5, is it, or 1.1?
1.2. Should go down to 1.56.
Yeah. Okay. All right, Nick, lovely. And can you send me the charts so I can put them on my...
I will. Sent them already.
What, you have?
I said don't faint. Yeah, I sent them before the show.
Wow. Okay. I know. Well, thank you very much, Nicola. That's lovely. And by all means, you know, follow Nick on Twitter then, and I'll put the link to Nick's at Nick Trades Twitter, if you forget that, at sharepickers.com. You can see the charts there as well. And also you can suggest, there's a little link there, I'll put a little link to suggest you know, future stocks, and Nick can look at the chart. Thanks, Nick. Speak next week.
Okay, good luck.
Okay, it's time for today's Penny Stock with Potential, suggested by Phil. Thanks, Phil, for getting involved, fella. I really do appreciate it. Without people like you, this feature wouldn't exist, and it gives value, so that's good. Name and ticker symbol of the penny stock with potential, Pipehawk. Pip. I think we have covered this before, but, you know, it's not a bad thing to cover it twice. Sometimes, you know, your stock goes by you, you forget about it, so I'm just justifying why I'm covering it twice, really. what does the company do? Assembly line production and ground probing radar. Oh, I say, Mrs. Would you say this is a short, medium, or long-term investment? Short to medium, sir. How many shares does the company have in issue? 33 million. Is that all? That's a good sign, that. See, you know, it won't take a lot to move the share price. What's the current price and market cap of the company? 6.5, 2.27 million. Just checking the chart here. PIP. P-I-P. PIP. 6.625 at the moment. Thanks, Phil. You're right on the ball there. Now, there's three reasons why you think this company has potential. Number one, swinging to profit with end-of-year results this month. Number two, 2 million research and development tax credit, corporation tax write-off. Nice. And number three, multiple large contracts. That's PIP, P-I-P. Thank you very much for that, Phil. So by all means, do your own research. Or if you have a penny stock you think has a bit of potential, go to sharepickers.com, click the link here and do that. And I could be featuring your penny stock with potential, giving a bit of exposure in the next next few days. Phil, for forthcoming days. I'm talking about rambling. Right, that's it for the podcast before I melt down into a bubble of mumbles. Apart from to say thank you Dino Blues, who gave me this cracking review and 5-star rating on iTunes. He said, in regards to SML, great interview, we'll be listening more. Thank you, Dino. I do appreciate that, I really do. And I did have John Peters on from Strategic Minerals last week, so check that out. And I like the guy. Warm to him, by the way. But that's it for the podcast. Please don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation. It's not intended as advice. It's intended as the first stepping stone in your journey to research. Thanks for listening. Mucho appreciado.
The ADBFN Podcast with Justin Waite.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.